Good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Vitale, Area Chair, along with Steve Bueno for the New York City area. Thank you for joining this morning for April's Spiritual Outreach Call. We are very grateful to have Bishop Paul Sanchez, a conventual chaplain from our area, who will be speaking to us about the Transfiguration. The Most Reverend Paul Sanchez was born in Brooklyn in 1946. He earned a Bachelor of Arts from St. Bonaventure's University, a Master of Arts from the University of Notre Dame, and a Licentiate of Sacred Theology from the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. He was ordained in 1971 by then Bishop James at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. His priestly assignments include Our Lady of Mercy, Forest Hills, St. Michael, Flushing, and St. Sebastian, Woodside. He served as pastor at St. Agatha, Brooklyn, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel, while also serving as administrator for St. Margaret Mary, Long Island City. He was named vicar for Queens North in June 2008 and served this area until January 2013. On July 11, 2012, Bishop Sanchez received his Doctor of Divinity. Then Father Sanchez was named Vicarate Coordinator for the Diocesan Liturgical Commission in 1975. He served as a member of the Presbyteral Council and the diocesan team for Ministry to Priests and the International Committee on English in the Liturgy Subcommittee. A passionate teacher, he was an adjunct faculty member at St. John's University and the Seminary of the Immaculate Conception in Huntington, New York. To quote Bishop Sanchez, "I have been a priest for 40 years and have been privileged to see how Almighty God has used me, despite my many failings and weaknesses, to build up the kingdom of heaven. I am deeply grateful to the Holy Father for his confidence and trust in choosing me to share in the life of the apostles of our Lord." Bishop Sanchez continued, "I have loved my ministry as a parish priest in my first three wonderful parishes and then as pastor for the people of St. Agatha in Sunset Park and Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Astoria. Even when the people had limited financial resources, they were rich in faith and an inspiration to my life of faith. Moreover, when serving as the territorial vicar of Queens, I have been able to work closely with the pastors, priests, and staff of our parishes. As I have walked on this great pilgrimage as a priest, the depths of God's love have been made very clearly manifest." Bishop Sanchez was named a Prelate of Honor by Blessed John Paul II in 1997. He speaks English and Spanish. Bishop Sanchez was named Vicar for Queens North in 2008. He is now Auxiliary Bishop Emeritus and currently serves as retired pastor of Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs in Forest Hills. And may I just personally add one thing, that Bishop Sanchez is one of our most treasured chaplains here in the New York City area. And recently, a few months ago at the Feast of Our Lady of Salermos, he came to preside over a liturgy that was full of young people. And I must say, it was such an honor to see him connect so deeply with the young people in their 20s and 30s at that liturgy who were wrapped in Bishop Sanchez's words. So I can say, besides being His Excellency, he is also my brother in Christ, and I feel that firmly from spending time with him and being around such a holy person. Bishop Sanchez, it's an honor to introduce you this morning.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you very much. Very kind. And welcome to everyone on this call. It's a great privilege, blessing for me to be able to share with you some thoughts on the Transfiguration, the scene that's recorded in several of the Gospels. I just want to begin with the Jubilee prayer. We come together in this Jubilee year, 2025. We certainly continue to hold in our hearts Pope Francis as he continues on his road to recovery. And we pray, Father in heaven, May the faith you have gifted us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity kindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into diligent cultivators of the evangelical seeds that make humanity and the cosmos rise unto the confident expectation of the new heavens and the new earth, when with the powers of evil overcome, your glory shall be manifested eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us, pilgrims of hope, the yearning for heavenly treasures, and pour over all the earth the joy and peace of our Redeemer. To you, God, blessed in eternity, be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. So to speak about the transfiguration, the scene that's recorded in the Gospels, I always think of this story of a pastor who was very taken with the artwork of a religious sister, and he had collected several of her artistic depictions of different biblical scenes. And so she asked the sister one day, would you also paint for me a depiction of the transfiguration of Christ? And the religious sister replied, she said, no, Father, I'm not able to do that. And he asked why. She said, well, I'm not ready spiritually to depict in art that glorified moment in the life of Christ. So it brings to mind the fact that that scene recorded, as I mentioned, in the three synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is a challenging depiction. You know, it's kind of placed, certainly in Luke's gospel, tellingly, kind of deliberately, in a moment where Jesus has been teaching the apostles and they're not quite getting the drift, they're not quite getting the full understanding of what he's saying. But this moment, which is kind of a window into the glory of Christ, this scene of the transfiguration, and kind of gives them an inner glimpse. And I guess on one level we could describe it as a moment like we sometimes experience when a light breaks through our consciousness or things become more clarified or translucent than normal. And, you know, if we were to interpret it on that level, obviously it would be affirming something that we profess in our faith, that God's love is always at work in our life and our hearts, and it's for us to open our eyes and hearts to the knowledge of that love, to the understanding of that love, to the fact that that love is breaking through. You know, there's a great prayer, I can't remember where I came across this, but the opening line of the prayer is, oh God, you are waiting to surprise us, and it's a moment like that, when God surprises us with his grace, brings insight and renewal into our hearts. If we were to look at this from the biblical perspective and try to make some connections there, first thing we see is that the scene begins with Jesus ascending the mountain. Now, the mountain is always key. In the scriptures, it's the meeting place between God and his people. In this scene, Jesus is going up the mountain to pray. Before every important decision moment in Jesus' ministry, Jesus prays. He prays before he selects his disciples. He prays before his death on the cross. And he prays here before his transfiguration. So we're given a clue that something important is about to happen. The scene echoes scenes from the life of Moses. Jesus is accompanied to the mountain with three of his disciples. In the Old Testament, Moses is spoken of as ascending a mountain, accompanied by three of his colleagues. the Hebrew scriptures talk about Moses' face shining when he ascended the mountain and met God. Jesus' face is described on the in the transfiguration scene as changed. The connection with Moses is strengthened when Moses appears with Jesus on the scene. And Moses appears with Elijah, representing the law of the Hebrew scriptures and the prophets. And the suggestion is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So Moses and Elijah play the role of two witnesses, just as there are two witnesses, the two angels at the empty tomb, who announce to the disciples who arrive at the tomb, the angels announce he is risen. So the transfiguration scene becomes a little bit of a foreshadowing of the resurrection. Moses and Elijah speak of the exodus that Jesus was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. The exodus, of course, brings us back to the understanding of the liberation of God's people and from the hands of the Egyptians. And so for us, the transfiguration is a kind of foreshadowing of the new liberation that Jesus will accomplish through his death and resurrection. When we focus on the three disciples who accompany Jesus, Peter, James, and John, we notice that they were the first called by Christ, and they're also with him in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he dies. Curiously, they're spoken of here as being overcome by sleep, and they will be in that same condition in Gethsemane, which is kind of a sign of spiritual inattention. They're not fully awake. They're not recognizing the fullness of this experience. And yet when they are overshadowed, I'll speak in a moment about the cloud that overtakes them, they want to capture, it's almost as if they want to capture this moment and hold on to it. They don't want to let go of it, you know, which is illustrated by the fact that one of them says to Jesus, let us build three tents here. And, you know, almost as a way of controlling the moment. But that is not to be. So the scripture goes on to say a cloud overcame them. And a voice says to them, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So again, the invitation is that in their life, they're still journeying with Christ, they're still learning. The invitation is listen to Jesus, listen to the words of Christ. And, you know, just to play a little bit with that image of the cloud or the shadow that overtakes them, you know, that would bring us back to Mary. You know, Mary, when the angel appears to her at the Annunciation, Mary says, well, wait. She says, how can this be? You know, like, I haven't had relations with a man. And the angel says, effectively, the Holy Spirit will take care of it. But he also says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So, you know, this overshadowing, this cloud becomes kind of a moment for the disciples and also for Mary to come to a greater understanding and to understand what it means to listen and to pray and to seek wisdom. So, you know, obviously the takeaway for us is, you know, especially during the season of Lent and also more broadly during this Jubilee year, to kind of tune our hearts to listen to Christ more effectively, if you will, by our life of prayer, our silence, our reading of the scriptures, our seeking good spiritual nourishment in books or in even, you know, online. So and let us kind of recognize that prayer is our way of entering into the mind of Christ. It's basically as our Holy Father said, Pope Benedict XVI, he said, that's a basic precondition for a real understanding to take place in our heart. The person who prays is able to see. So one commentator suggests that Jesus took the blinders off the eyes of those who of Peter, James, and John, and he gave them a glimpse of his glory. And you know, the same thing we could find in the Old Testament when we talk about Elisha and how he also his eyes were open through the grace of God. So we pray that this particular scene will continue to encourage us to allow God to work in our hearts, to recognize how he plays in our life in so many different ways. And maybe the prayer that would be inspired by the Transfiguration might be the following. Let us pray. Almighty God, you enabled your disciples to see the transfigured Christ on the mountainside. Awaken within us, your beloved people, the gifts of wisdom and understanding, so that we may see with the eyes of faith and live as a people who give glory to your name. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. And I'd just like to invite Eric to give a couple of final comments.
Thank you, Bishop Sanchez. Thank you for your time and talent, for contributing to this program, and for all that you do for our members and for the association at large. Thanks to all who joined this call. The recording, along with a transcript of the Bishop's talk, will be posted to the website within the next several days. Our next call is May 7th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Reverend Philip Michael Tangora, chaplain from our New Jersey area, will be speaking to us about why the Blessed Mother chose St. Bernadette in Lourdes. Please plan to join us. Thank you all. Thank you, Bishop Sanchez, and have a blessed day.